time for the observation deck. It's brought to us by A Number One Air and Andy's Sprinkler Drainage and Lighting. Gordo's on vacation today, so filling in, we have Jason Killer Kellison, the ticket shelter dog. Good morning, Killer.
Hi, Craig.
Doing okay?
I'm shaking right now.
You can get through this.
We got this. All right, so Monday we had what some could consider a national disaster in France when the Notre Dame Cathedral went up in flames. It's a national disaster for them. It's not for us, but for them, it's bad, right?
Yes. Just
keep
going. It's a shaky way to get into the story, but yes.
All right, so we have a timeline of how some of the things happened that night. There was actually a mass that was going on. It was the last mass of the day. At 6:20, an alarm went off. And they sent someone upstairs to look and see what was going on in the rafters, which they call the forest. It's basically all the beams that hold the ceiling up. That's where the alarm went off. At 6:20, they didn't see anything, but they still evacuated the building. At 6:43, 6:45, that timeline, alarm went off again. Somebody went up there. They checked, and they actually saw smoke. And that's when they called the fire department to come out and start putting out the fire.
Do you think they retro put like a sprinkler system in there?
Funny thing is, they decided not to do that. Because of the electrical wiring that would have to go into it, they deemed it more dangerous to have the wires up there. Basically, it's a giant tinder box on the roof of the cathedral.
Yeah.
So they said that not only would it be dangerous for the wiring, but it would be aesthetically not pleasing. It didn't go with the decor of the building, basically. So they decided not to do it. So when the fire started going up, the good thing is the Paris firefighters had been training. Every year they train just in case the Notre Dame Cathedral goes up.
Right.
They always have they practice what they have to do.
They knew it was a ticking time bomb.
Yes, they knew it was going to happen. And they had plans in place for whenever something like this happened, how they would attack it, depending on where the fire started. Like, they knew that if the roof went up, they were going to do everything they could to stop the fire from spreading into the towers so they could at least save that part. They also basically dedicated 100 or so firefighters to going in and bringing out all the relics. All the statues, candelabras, anything that had religious value, they went in and brought out.
Sounds like they did a good job of that.
Yeah, they
rescued a lot.
They did. They brought out a lot. The good thing is, because it was under renovation, a lot of the statues, like the 12 apostles statues, had already been removed from the building.
So did you see where they removed the crown of thorns?
Yes.
That Jesus supposedly wore? How did they know? Has that been authenticated by the Heritage Auction folks?
I don't believe so. I haven't found any details on the authentication.
I mean, I wonder how they know. I mean, they admit they don't know 100% for sure.
Yeah.
But, like, was it passed down from this guy to this guy to this guy to this guy, and they're pretty sure, or did they
Maybe somebody found it in the attic, and they said, hey, I wonder what this is, and then found a little note from their grandparents.
It's probably a little more intricate than that, but...
That's how I get all my cool stuff, you know?
Passed down.
Passed down, yeah. Now, while those 100 firefighters were in there pulling stuff out, the French sent in robots to help battle the fight.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah, they had robot firefighters
coming
in.
That makes
sense.
They
had little tank treads and everything with hoses attached to them. They also had boats on the Seine. Is that how you...
The Seine?
The Seine, sorry. And they were out there just pumping water nonstop into it as well. So they were... I mean, they had practiced. It could have been much worse than it was. The fact that they evacuated the mass at 6:20 instead of letting it go through, the fact that the firefighters had practiced and knew what they had to do, and each one of them had an assigned duty whenever this happened to go in and either fight the fire or bring out the relics, they were really well prepared.
Although it sounds like just fighting it from the ground and with robots, that's probably and obviously not going to work. It's not going to be that effective. Like, you had to fight it from the air with a structure that big, but they said they couldn't dump water on it or the whole thing would collapse.
Yeah, everything that's inside would have been just lost.
Right.
So, I mean, it is basically what do you really want to save, the relics or the roof? Because they can rebuild the roof. They've already said the structure itself is sound enough to rebuild on top of.
Yeah.
Which means that when they build the new roof, they can actually put in all the fire prevention that they need, which they couldn't do before because of the old style.
Right.
Now, some people say that the roof work itself was just a piece of art all by itself. If not many people could go up there and look at it, but if you were privileged enough to get up there, it was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that's the biggest loss of the entire thing is just the roof itself was just amazing, and the fact that they lost it and nobody else will ever be able to see it again.
They've already had $1 billion pledged from various wealthy businessmen and entities for the rebuilding, and the French president said that he wants it rebuilt in 5 years.
Yeah.
They think it'll take a little longer than that, but they're going to get it done.
Yeah,
they'll get it rebuilt.
That's the thing. Like, there was a lot of political speeches and stuff that were supposed to happen yet on Monday.
Generic stuff.
The Yellow Vests, Macron, they all had speeches that they were going to be delivering that day, special meetings that they were going to be having, and they all canceled. Mm-hmm. Every one of them said, this is more important than what we're talking about.
Sure.
And that was, to me, that's pretty cool. But
what's your heartbeat right now? Is it 200 beats per minute?
It's right up there. Whenever this happened, my wife and I were talking about places that we wish we could have gone to see or could go see. And this was one of the places that was on her bucket list. Places she wanted to see. And
so does she still want to see it now? Like in its current state?
Not so much the current state, but she still wants to go see it because she knows we figured 5-6 years we'll actually be able to go over there and check it out. But we started putting together our own personal bucket lists and comparing notes back and forth. And I was thinking, man, some of my stuff, I bet you have done, Junior. Like, one of the things I want to do is go to Sydney, Australia.
I've never been there.
See, I figured you would have gone there and at least biked across the country somewhere.
Australia, even more so New Zealand, is on my bucket list. But no, I've never been down that way.
And New Zealand's on mine as well. But I want to go to the Great Barrier Reef and the Opera House.
Yeah.
Just those two things right there are enough to pull me in.
Mm-hmm.
Someplace else I want to go to is Stonehenge, which I don't know. Have you been there?
Never been there.
Nope.
Man, that just seems appealing to me, like the mystery behind it all.
Yes, very mystical. I know people who have been there, and they say it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. I mean, the whole thought and discussion of how this was built and how way back then they dragged those giant stones from the only part of Great Britain that they could have been dragged from at all, that's great. But they say actually just standing there looking at it is just fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's a nice place for a picnic.
There's a payoff, a few times a year on the solar calendar where it's really breathtaking, but otherwise, just out in a field.
Easter Island is kind of like that to me, too, because those little statues and stuff. I mean, it'd be really cool to go there and spend like half a day to look around and stuff, but other than that, I mean, I do want to go and see it. I just don't want to spend an entire vacation on that.
Mm-hmm.
Is the bucket list phenomenon something relatively new? Like, I'd never really heard about it until... The first person I heard talk about it was actually Lou Holtz, who said that he sat down after he got fired from one of his jobs, I can't remember which one, and said, okay, this is a setback, but I'm going to make a list of things that I want to do. And I'm not saying he invented the bucket list, but that's the first time I heard it. And then the movie came out. And
like, when did you hear Lou Holtz say that?
It was like mid-aughts.
Oh, wow.
That was the first I heard of it.
No, I heard about it long before that.
Did you?
My grandfather retired in 89. And he immediately started checking stuff off the bucket list.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they bought an RV and started traveling the country because he had never been to the Grand Canyon, and he went there.
And he referred to it as a bucket list.
Yeah, he said, this is my bucket list.
Okay.
And every time he would check something off, he would add something else. Because he's like, if I just keep adding to the goal, I'll just keep going. And it gave him a purpose.
Yeah, that's great.
And I got to go with him on some of the trips. Like, I got to do the Grand Canyon with him, which was awesome. But there's different things.
You all right?
I'm doing fine.
So number one on your list is Sydney?
No, my number one is actually London.
London, okay.
Because I was doing family research and I found out my family comes from Sussex in the London area. And
the very proper Kellisons.
Yes. The proper Kellisons who came over as indentured servants.
Sorry.
Yeah. Thanks. So I want to go see where we originate from.
Okay. London's great.
I also want to go do the Redwood Forest in California.
I've never been there either.
I'm really scared because of all the fires and stuff they've had out in California.
Plus Notre Dame has spooked you a little bit.
It has really spooked me. So it's anything that can go up in flames, I'm putting up on top of the list now. Because I want to make sure I get there before somebody torches it.
London has already gone up in flames.
But they rebuilt it bigger and stronger.
Did.
But Those are, is there anything on your list?
You know what's number one on my list, and I'm going to do this the first summer after I get fired here from the ticket or retire.
So this summer?
Maybe this summer. Yeah, I could be fired after today's show the way it's going.
That's my fault.
I want to get an RV and my bicycle, and I want to follow the Tour de France all the way around the country for all 3 weeks. Like, I want to see every single stage. Cool. You know, I've been over there and I've seen it, but I've seen one stage or two stages, and then I do the rest of a trip. But I want to be in an RV with my bike, and I want to drive to every stage, and I want to ride a little bit that morning and then watch the race that afternoon and then just follow the race all the way around the country. You'd see the whole country that way. You'd get to ride part of the course every day. You'd see every single stage. That's my bucket list. That's what I want to do for the month after I get fired.
Man, that would be awesome.
The first July after I get fired.
Take Keller with you.
I'll drive the RV for you. I'm good at that.
Okay. I've always said all my friends are invited. Whoever wants to go with me.
I'm a friend.
Yeah.
Throw it in the water.
What about you, George?
I actually had a bucket list that I started like when I heard Lou Holtz say that in the mid-aughts, and most of them were like personal things that I wanted to do. One of them was at least try starting a band and performing and actually recording. Mm-hmm. So I've done those. A couple of others were, you know, personal that I haven't really done yet. And I didn't really have too many sites on there outside of sports venues. Like the Big House is still on there. Fenway Park is still on there. And, yeah, that's about it as far as sports venues.
You've never really had any interest in leaving the United States, have you?
No, not it's not one of my big things, no. It is for somebody else in my family, though, and I've told her that we will do that.
Boy, you're dragging that out as long as you can.
I know. I've dragged that out a long time. But then that's never really floated my boat.
All right, Killer. Well, thank you. Bucket list talk. That's always fun. That's the ODEC 629 on the ticket. Right now, it's time to muse in the news. Gordo is on vacation today, so filling in, we have Jason Killer Kellison, and it's brought to us by D&M Leasing and All-Pro Foundation Repair. Hi, Killer.
Hello, guys. I ran into Norm in the hallway. He gave me a couple little blue pills. He said it calmed me down a little bit.
Yeah, we determined this morning that Killer needs anxiety medication because he said that his heart is always racing.
I'm not feeling too good after those pills Norm gave me, though. Something's going wrong with my bottom regions.
Okay, we don't need to know that. We just need the news.
All right, so we have big weather coming through today. At least it's predicted to be big. I'd been doing so well.
It's your first story.
Yeah, great.
Already failing.
Wait a minute. Did you say you had been doing so well?
Compared to past attempts at broadcasting, I'd been doing really well. I feel.
Okay.
It was off.
I thought 6:15 went pretty well for me.
Start.
It was okay, yeah.
Compared to my history, 6:15 was great.
You were dogged by your history.
My history is going to be my downfall.
Okay, let's start over.
All right, here we go.
Killer, here's Killer with Muse and the News.
So starting today at 11 o'clock, we're going to start seeing some showers pour into the Metroplex.
Never heard it phrased that
pour
way.
Pour into the Metroplex.
We're going to see showers.
That's not bad, though. That's a good way to say
it. Pour into the Metroplex.
And by 5 o'clock today, if you're on your way up here to watch the Stars game, 5 o'clock, it could get really dicey. That's when they're predicting the real big weather to start rolling in, coming in from the west side, like west side, Dinn County, Tarrant and Parker. It's going to start coming in. Could be large size hail, high winds, possible tornadoes.
Uh-oh.
All starting around 5 o'clock. 7 o'clock is when it's supposed to be in its peak. That's when you really need to be buttoned down.
I think it's at its peak.
At its peak.
Not in its peak, yeah.
I appreciate that. So starting at 7 o'clock, make sure you're indoors.
Sound advice.
Order your pizzas, order your Chinese food, be ready to go.
You know, we were making fun of Killer, but this is a big story. Did you see that all of the local car dealers are either garaging their inventory or covering their inventory with tarps or something like that?
Yeah. Did you see the inflatable car protector?
No. What's that?
Basically, it looks like a giant cocoon, and you put it on your car, and you plug it in, and there's an air pump, and it just fills the bag.
Huh.
And basically, it's supposed to protect your car from hail and everything else, but I don't think a 70-mile-an-hour wind is going to be
right
deterred by that. Yeah, it's going to just rip it right off.
Yeah, and maybe.
I think they tie it to the tires. That's how they keep it attached. But it looked like a giant, like a caterpillar cocoon.
How much? Sorry, I talked over that.
Like Thank a what? You.
Caterpillar cocoon.
How much those run, Killer, you know?
The news said like $250, depending on the size of your vehicle. If it's
$2.50.
$250.
That's better than
up to
taking
like,
at the hail damage.
If it works.
Yeah.
That's the big question is if it works,
Ooh,
it's great.
Killer calling out this technology.
Hey, I haven't seen any documentation that it works yet. So boom.
Fair enough.
Okay.
With the big weather coming, Plano's made some changes to its weather warning systems. They've had sirens in the past that basically would...
he can't do the news if you laugh
at every
story.
I can't help it. I can't help it because the visual, your eyes are blinking at a billion blinks per second.
Yeah, I know it really makes it hard to read.
Maybe that's the problem.
That's it. Your eyes start blinking.
We've discovered the problem.
I just need to...
Just take a deep breath.
Just get those little things from Clockwork Orange to keep my eyes open.
Yeah.
Deep breath. Exhale.
Back to Plano.
So Plano now has weather warning sirens that will actually be a siren instead of a voice telling you tornado warning.
Yeah, I saw something. You're supposed to... Those are for people who are outside.
Yeah.
You are not supposed to... If you hear the sirens...
Don't go outside
don't
and
go outside
figure out what they're saying.
Right.
But that's the problem is people thought when they were hearing this voice over these speakers that it was delivering information that they needed to hear. So they would go outside and
then... Pelted by hail and wind.
And sometimes it'd be so muffled they couldn't understand. So they'd be standing out there even longer trying to hear it say... Tornado warning.
So
tornado
I had never heard this, that's what they did in Plano, that they had a human voice or a Robart voice.
A Robart voice telling you, watch out, there's a tornado.
That's
coming.
Creepy. That's real Big Brother-y.
Robart.
Robat.
But now they are. Not to mention, on top of that, they would only do it in parts of the town. So if you were in South Plano, you could hear it, but North Plano wouldn't hear it.
Why'd they do that?
I don't know, but now the entire town of
Uniform
Plano will
siren.
Hear it. Yes, everybody will get the exact same warning at the exact same time.
Good.
Moving on, James Bond.
What? Just be more confident in your stories.
James Bond.
James Bond was
deep breath. Deep breath.
There we go.
Okay.
Now we're going.
One more.
Take all the time you need.
James Bond was busted on the tollways earlier this week.
What? On the tollways?
Okay, so this guy named...
On our tollways?
On Texas State tollways. This guy, Preston Cody Talbot. Preston Cody Talbot. I cannot get the wheels back on. He had a device attached to his license plate that every time he would go through a toll booth, he would hit this button and a black sheet of paper or something would go over his license plate so that when they were trying to document and bill him, they couldn't do it. They couldn't identify his vehicle.
I bet it wasn't a black sheet of paper.
It was...
I saw it
on the news. It's like a black piece of metal or
plastic, maybe.
Plastic that he would hit the button and it would go down over...
Right.
Cover his license plate, then hit it, and it would pop back up.
I'm just saying I don't think a black sheet of paper would have lasted that long
on
the back of a car.
Especially, this guy racked up $5,473 worth of toll fees.
Wow.
And on top of that, he can get a $500 fine for...
Trying to hide your license plate?
For the flipper, yeah.
Yeah.
And this is Preston Talbot.
Boy, he doesn't care about nothing. Look at him.
I think he kind of looks like Luca.
A little bit.
Maybe.
Yeah. I was like, Luca is like busting on the tollway.
Wouldn't it be much easier just to get a toll tag than to get the technology
of
shield that lowers when you go through?
He'd already accrued like $5,000 on top of that of fees from previous times. So he wasn't allowed to actually be using the tollway.
Because he was banned.
Yeah, he was banned from the tollway use, and he just kept going back to it, and that's why he had the flipper. Sorry.
So you call him James Bond because he had the flipper.
He had the little flipper. Okay. The cool thing is the way the cops busted him is they were watching, they went back and researched and saw how many, what time of day he was using the toll roads. And then they just started sitting at the toll booths waiting for his car to go through. And that's, it took him a couple weeks to finally actually catch him. When they did, he's obviously arrested, $10,000 in fines and $500 in flipper fee.
Doesn't sound like he was as crafty as James Bond.
No, he didn't have a cue really working for him. He was trying to do it all on his own.
The cops would not have caught James Bond.
No, no. And if they had actually tried to apprehend him, he would have gotten away. Smoke screens and oils and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Who's your favorite Bond?
Well, I was very partial to Roger Moore because when we first got cable TV at the house when I was growing up, that was the Roger Moore era. So I watched all those Roger Moore movies, and I just thought he was great. Connery was great, but I prefer Roger Moore.
George?
I have no opinion on it because I was not a Bond fan. It was a very unpopular stance I took a long time ago here on the ticket.
Why did you take that stance?
I wasn't into him. No.
The movies are so cool.
Yeah, just the whole
lore. Yeah, I've come to appreciate him, I guess, a little bit, but I think we all need to get over James Bond.
That is a really hot sports opinion right there.
This is a guy's station, and you're telling us to get over James Bond to embrace boy bands. I don't follow.
I think Jason Bourne is much better than James Bond.
Bourne is great, too.
Bourne is really good.
But they're very similar.
Not Jeremy Renner Bourne, though.
He would whoop James Bond's butt in, 8 seconds.
Yeah, Bourne knows more space karate than Bond.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a better shot.
But I think Bond had more gadgets at his disposal.
Yeah.
He might be able to out-gadget Bourne.
Maybe.
He had an entire nation backing him up.
That's right.
Bourne had to steal all his gadgets and stuff and make them himself.
That's right.
How familiar are you guys with all
how
the...
what?
Do what?
What?
Huh?
How what?
What? We only have a minute here, so I'm just going to get into the birthdays.
No, I want you to do the story.
How familiar are we
do
with
the story?
All the apps that high school kids and junior high kids are having to deal with today.
Not that familiar.
I mean, you're the king of Instagram, the ticket.
That's what they call me.
Than anybody else.
That's what they call me.
Well, there are some apps out there that kids are starting to get into, and the school districts are actually starting to have seminars and meetings with parents to teach them, hey, look out for these apps on your phones. Make sure that your kids, if they have them, that they understand what the dangers are that go along with them.
So not Instagram and Twitter. We're talking about some...
Well, those are still on the list. Or
Snapchat's like the big one, right?
Snapchat, Whisper. Whisper is it's an anonymous social network. You can talk to somebody and you can... But when you're talking to them, it reveals your location. So a lot of predators will use that.
Right.
They'll start talking to somebody. There's actually been a couple people busted for attempting rape charges against a minor.
For attempting rape charges?
Well, they were... Because the parents stepped in and caught them. They interfered, or they intercepted, I guess, the predator coming after their child.
Okay.
There's a thing called the House Party app. Basically, you can have 8 people on this video chat. And a lot of times whenever this happens, people will start revealing and undressing themselves and stuff like that. So basically, your kids are putting themselves up as a chance to get bullied, or you can take a screenshot of someone if they're taking off their shirt and stuff like that.
What about Tinder and Grindr?
Tinder is on
Bumble.
There. There's actually apps like MyLOL and app. These are dating apps actually aimed at teenagers. But the thing is, when you sign up for them, they just ask for your birth date.
You can lie.
Yeah, you can totally lie. And people have done that. There's nothing stopping them from trying to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, birthdays.
All right.
We finally got there.
Yes.
That was a wild ride.
My gosh. Musician Jon Hammer is 71. Sean Bean, Ned Stark from Game of Thrones, is 60. Henry Ian Cusick.
Are you a Game of Thrones fan?
Yes. Big Game of Thrones fan.
Okay.
We rewatched all 7 seasons to get ready for the premiere.
Hmm.
Henry Ian Cusick from Scandal and Lost, Desmond.
That's right.
He is 52. Liz Phair is 52. Rapper actor Redman is 49. And actress Jennifer Garner is 47.
Oh, I love her.
I like Jennifer.
And that is birthdays, gentlemen.
All right, killer. Thank you.
Wheels are coming back on.
Muse in the news, 7:30 on the ticket. Jason Killer Kellison is filling in for the vacation in Gordo this morning. It's been a wild ride, as it always is, but a fun ride with Killer.
Lots of ups and downs.
And if you listen to the ticket, you're going to hear a lot of Killer drops. And so we thought in this segment, we would have Killer explain some of these drops. What was going on behind the scenes? What caused these weird sounds or these emergency brake moments? So you've come up with some of your greatest hits.
Some of my greatest hits. We heard Black Friday earlier this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I let you guys know that was the first time for me to ever produce you. So I was super nervous to begin with. And then trying to do a segment by myself was even more nerve-wracking.
For those unfamiliar with Killer, as you can hear right now, he always has shake voice.
Yes.
He told us earlier in the show that his heart is always racing, so he's very, very nervous, which is why Gordo nicknamed him the ticket shelter dog.
I'm on the verge of a heart attack every time I come on the air.
Man.
So these are some of my favorite moments.
Okay.
I'm going to start off with probably the all-time classic with Wi-Fi.
Yes, this is a good one.
Jared, could you play it, please, sir?
Now, he's putting pepper on it right now. He's agreed to do this. Irwin, in promotions, went over to the select counter over there and had them pick out their finest 20-ounce steak, which is now sitting in front of us. And the killer is putting pepper on it.
What's this other stuff you put on there?
She gave me some seasoning to put on there, too. So
it's raw.
Hey. Gotta try something.
What? What a jaw wall moment that was.
So what happened there? I had put some of the seasoning salt on the raw steak.
Okay, did they dare you to eat raw meat?
Yeah, they actually offered me $500 if I ate the whole steak. And then later on, about five bites in, they offered me $150 just to stop. And I was like, okay, I was going to take that. I never got the cash, by the way.
That's so sorry.
Man, that is sorry.
And I had to pay for the steak.
That's terrible.
Man.
But what was going on was I had put some of the seasoning salt on the steak, and Irwin, our promotion guy at the time, came over and was trying to put more stuff on the steak. And I'm like, I'm fine, trying to push him away. And the nerves, the shake voice, and everything else going on at the same time, you get...
Sounds so much like Wi-Fi.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't really hear I'm fine.
But that's what I was trying to say. As I'm trying to say I'm fine, kind of push him away, but I was so nervous about doing this whole bit on the air.
Out Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Later on, after that incident, the Wi-Fi incident, they came back to me and asked me how I was feeling, and I told them that I had to go poop.
No, I got to go poop.
Because my stomach was not doing well.
Oh, no.
So that's how the Wi-Fi thing came. It was a Friday right after Summer Bash.
Just the isolated Wi-Fi drop is one of my five favorite drops ever here on the stage. So weird.
That's probably my first initial actual drop. You have the Black Friday incident where I just stumbled through the whole thing like I do life, but that was there. Wi-Fi was my first real drop.
Okay.
Then you go on a little bit farther. Was it not this past one, but 2 years ago, I guess you could say, the Super Bowl in Minnesota. And we were talking about the media party. I came on. I was filling in for Tony, engineering the hard line. And for some reason, I decided it was a good idea to open my mic, which is never a good idea. But we were talking about the media party, and we were sharing some of the things that we went and saw. And this came up.
Deviled eggs were great.
Oh, God, Mike. The deviled eggs were tremendous. Oh, and I had about...
There is no such thing.
I had about five of those. I went back for more.
You should have gone Cool Hand Luke on them eggs, bro.
I've done that before, Danny.
I know.
I was in no mood to do it again.
I was here.
So, anyway...
Did you visit the robot? The robot?
What?
The robot?
Robart? Did we bring back Minnesota Killer?
The robot bartender?
No.
Robart?
That's so weird, too, that you, A, that you said Robart, and then you repeated it almost like you were a robot, like you were stuck on Robart.
What? It was robot.
It was the robot bartender, and I was exhausted. I just mixed my words all together and just couldn't talk like usual. But
Robart
is what came out. And now, to this day, whenever I go and I see something, like if I see a robot, I go, look, it's a Robart. I don't even call it robot anymore.
You know what I bet added to your nervousness there was a little lull in the action. There was some dead space. Yeah. And I bet you were wondering, should I jump in or should I not? Should I jump in? Should I not? And then you jumped in, but you were probably a little hesitant to jump in. Right?
Yeah. I don't know. Like my timing is way off. I have no timing at all, so I just stumble in and see what happens.
Like did you visit squirrel. the Robart?
What?
Robot.
I want to play that again in its entirety, and let's listen to the little pause in the action, and you can just imagine nervous killer wondering, should I talk now?
Deviled eggs were great.
Oh, God, Mike. The deviled eggs were tremendous. Oh, and I had about...
There is no such thing.
I had about five of those. I went back for more.
You should have gone Cool Hand Luke on them eggs, bro.
I've done that before, Danny.
I know.
I was in no mood to do it again.
I was here.
So, anyway...
Did you visit the Robart? The Robart?
What?
Robot?
Robart?
Awesome. Your reaction is so great.
You know you've done something good when you hear the cackle.
Mm-hmm.
That makes you feel a little bit better about doing that. Then there's this one. We were at Campound a couple years ago, and I made dinner for everybody the night before. And the morning after, you guys asked me what was on the menu, and I went through it.
Yeah, some nice salmon, some lemon pepper chicken, some asparagus, and some broccoli with carrots.
That's maitre d' or waiter killer in a fine restaurant.
That was at 5:35 in the morning, too.
Oh, it was?
You guys asked me about...
What's for dinner?
What we had had for dinner.
Oh, okay.
And I went through basically all the
nice
food.
Yeah, some nice salmon, some lemon pepper chicken, some asparagus, and some broccoli with carrots.
So now that's a... Lemon pepper chicken and salmon are a big part of my soda diet now, so we got that going down for me. Speaking of that, when I started doing my first commercials ever, I had to do interviews of listeners. And I had my very first interview for a listener was a guy named John.
These are testimonials for soda.
This is testimonials for soda. We don't have a full-length commercial, but we do have this.
Well, killer, after hearing the commercials and turning 40 myself, being too heavy for too long, I decided something had to change.
All right, John. What was your first consultation like when you went to soda?
All right, Jonda.
All right, Jonda. You're supposed to be all right, John, and then go into a question.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, when I've done these interviews since then, I've done the interview and then gone back and recut my questions because I didn't want another Jonda situation.
It's always right, awkward, and I know you've done wonders for soda, and soda has done wonders for you. But it's always awkward when it sounds like you force use the name of the person you're interviewing. Like every time, okay, John, tell us, John.
Well, if you talk to me in the hallways, it sounds like I'm forcing your name out all the time anyway. So
natural.
It's just a natural.
It's a natural force.
Yeah. It's just the way I talk.
Force.
But all right, John.
Oh, man, that was great.
Those are my highlights of my ticket career.
You've brought us a lot of laughs and a lot of tears over the years, killer.
8:46 on the ticket. Whoa.
Right now, 9:15. It's time for The Corner, brought to us by Lumazul Tequila, Baker Brothers Plumbing and Air. Gordo is on vacation today, so filling in. It's been a fun morning with Jason Killer Kellison.
Good morning again, Craig. Thank you guys for having me today.
You're welcome. Thank you for filling
killer.
In.
Simple question for you. What do you think your work day is like? What do you think your hours of your work day consist of?
Well,
the time you're at the office or...
Well, your work day, you have your office. It's very disjointed because you have your office time when you're here doing the show. And then you go home, you probably take a nap, eat lunch. And then you open up your computers and look what's happening in the world. And then you watch an event. Like tonight, you'll watch the Stars game.
Right.
So your day is probably what?
It's hard to define our hours.
It's really tough, but if you had to add it all together, how many hours a day do you think you have to work?
I would say, so here at the studio, it's roughly 5 to 10:30, so that's 5.5 hours. And then at home, it's probably, gosh, it can be anywhere from 2 to 6 hours.
Yeah, it just depends on the day.
Yeah, it depends on the game, the day, what you need to do.
So you average about a 10 to 11 hour workday, basically. You think that's about right? 10 to 11 hours?
It's somewhere in there, maybe, yeah. Are you counting drive time, too? Because some offices do that.
Some offices do. I'm not counting drive time.
I would say on an average day, I would do a couple of hours at my desk or reading for show prep, and then let's say another, on average, 2 hours of watching a game or, say, a documentary I'm going to talk about.
Yeah.
I would say eight to 10 hours.
And then during football season, you got another 10 hours on Saturday and 10 hours on Sunday because you're watching the games and everything.
And I record games over the week and watch them on Monday too. So, yeah, there's no telling what it is in football season.
Well, there is a big movement going on in China called 996.
Oh, I've heard about this.
It's working 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. 6 days a week. You get one day off a week. Basically, it's really big in the high-tech industry. Jack Ma, he is the co-founder of Alibaba, which is an e-commerce thing, especially really big in China. He's really a big proponent of this. He doesn't want to come out and completely endorse it because there's a lot of backlash to it. But it's a big, big thing, especially with younger people getting into the tech world and everything. Working 9 a.m. in the morning till 9 p.m. at night, working 12 hours straight every day or 6 days of the week. And there's a lot of people hitting back at it, but there's a lot of people that in our country that have done this, like Elon Musk, whenever he was getting his little car industry. What's it?
Tesla.
Tesla. Thank you. I was brain farting. Couldn't come up with the name of the company.
A little bit more than a little car industry.
Car company. But whenever he was having production issues getting Tesla up and running, he was working about 120 hours a week just trying to get the company to put the product out there. But there is a lot of people who are pro and anti 996.
Is it balanced with more vacation at some point?
No.
Or?
No, it's all about work.
It's all about work. And the thing is, Jack Ma says, you feel better about yourself because it's an industry that you're really proud to be in, and you feel a great like pride in the product you're putting out there.
Yeah, they've got some interesting theories in China when it comes to work schedule, how you work a job. I had someone trying to explain something about how they do construction projects there. We need to look into that here. Like, they will get them done in a matter of days where it takes us months because it's so well orchestrated.
It's like you have a group of people that are in this one thing only.
Yes, and that is their job, and they do it, and it's like an orchestra, and everybody has their part. They play it, and they accomplish it, and they plan it, and they do things that it takes us months to do. They do it in just a matter of days. And maybe part of that is 996. I don't know.
It might be.
So the downside is they're working these people to death?
Yeah, they work them to death. They burn them out.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people that burn out. A lot of these people that do the 996 have no social life or social skills.
Right.
They have no family lives. A couple of people like mentioned or went after Jack Ma and said, you're going to kill off the families because these people aren't going to be... Like, they're not going to go into relationships. They're not going to have a family.
Yeah.
So you're going to impact our population if you do this.
So do they care, or will they just see it as these people are numbers, and when they burn out, we'll just churn in ones? And
that's how he sees it. Is like, okay, once this guy's burned out, he's out. Bring in the next generation.
And it's China, so they have an endless stream of people,
like nonstop coming in, rotating door.
It is better to burn out than fade away, we were told a long time ago.
Neil Young.
Okay.
My.
George.
That shouldn't have stopped the music. Killer had stopped the music all morning. I stopped the music with that.
Well, they're used to me you're used to it happening with me. You're a different beast.
No, we were not put on this earth just to work. That's not why we're here.
No, it would really hamper your bucket list. You couldn't achieve anything off there if you were working 996. Speaking of the bucket list, if you're looking to knocking something off of your list this summer, book your flight today.
Oh, what is this? A killer travel tip?
Sounds like a Norm and Mary kind of tip.
This is a Norm and Mary travel tip. Book your flight today because the prices are about to start going up.
Really?
Norm and Mary.
When are they going up?
For the summer flights are going to start going up. American Airlines has already canceled a lot of their summer flights. Southwest has done it. United is on the verge of canceling some more flights.
Oh, no.
This is all due to the 737 issue. Mm-hmm. Also, you have high cost and fuel. Everything is kind of pushing it where the airlines are going to have to increase their fares.
Uh-oh.
So if you're going to book your flight, book it as soon as you can because it's about to start skyrocketing up.
And, do you know when?
They've already...
Midnight tonight.
Yeah, midnight tonight.
That's what
I want.
Have
your flight booked.
Okay.
No, but American and Southwest have already started canceling flights for the summertime because they don't know when they're going to get their 737s back into rotation. And so that they're already... During the summertime, airlines are already stretched thin.
Yeah, I heard all that the first time around. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. But...
Man.
They literally actually have... They usually have backup planes in case something goes wrong with one of their primary use planes. Mm-hmm. They'll have a backup that can slide into that slot.
But now there's no backup.
They're not going to have those backups.
No backups.
No backups. If you lose your flight, you lose your flight.
You're done.
Yep. But, George, do you have any Chunky Monkey in your freezer?
No. What is that?
It's an ice cream from Ben & Jerry's.
No. I've heard of that, though. What's in it?
There's different... I don't know what's in it because I don't eat ice cream.
Okay.
But it's one of the nut-free ones, and there are some nuts in it. So.
Okay. All right.
I'm just looking at George. And
I'm trying to figure out where we're going with this.
I was hoping you would have Chunky Monkey because I like the name Chunky Monkey. I just want to say Chunky Monkey.
Is there
920?
Story? Is it causing
3 a.m.?
No, there's been a massive recall from Ben & Jerry's for Chunky Monkey ice cream and coconut seven-layer bar flavors. Oh, my God.
9:23 a.m. is when Killer ran out of gas.
I have run out of gas. I'm going to fight through it, though.
I'm a Bluebell P1.
Good Texans always are.
That's right.
Killer, I always thought you enjoyed putting nuts in your mouth. Are you saying that you don't? Or you just don't eat ice cream at all?
I don't eat ice cream at all.
That's not soda.
That's not soda friendly.
Okay. Mm.
Hey! Nuts in my mouth.
You know, you got four more minutes.
I got four more minutes.
Do you think you can get us there?
I think I
can
get
us to the finish line.
I can get us to the finish line. Okay. Killer here. How closely have you guys been following the scandal with the briberies for colleges and stuff like that? I am losing steam rapidly.
Too much in the last couple of weeks. Well, after some first broke, not much.
So this week we've seen a lot more. Lori Loughlin basically pleaded not guilty. I'm just plowing right through this one.
Ooh, okay.
She pleaded not guilty, and she could face up to like 15 to 20 years in prison.
Yeah, and they might send her to Supermax in Colorado.
I don't think they'll go that far, but she could actually spend some serious prison time if she's found guilty. But Felicity Huffman, who did plead guilty, will most likely get 4 months in prison. Just because that's the minimum, and that's what the prosecutors have basically said. Hey, if you plead guilty, we're going to seek the minimum time. We're not going to go for maximum time.
So that surprises me because I didn't think she would do time because I believe she just paid $15,000 where Lori Loughlin paid $500,000.
She paid $15,000, but she was prepared to pay more. And a lot of the stuff that she did actually... She paid to have someone go in and change her daughter's test scores.
Yeah.
And therefore, basically involving a state or an employee of the state to change and cheat.
Right.
So that's why she could get that minimum, and as well as the fines that go with it, obviously. But her husband, William H. Macy, who was caught recorded talking about it, never did anything with it. Therefore, that's why he's not facing any time or any prosecution at all.
You know, their marriage is on the rocks because of this.
Is it really?
That's what I hear.
I know
witty
that.
Banter.
Witty banter.
Witty banter.
Witty banter. Thank you.
And there is no doubt that there will be shower scenes in prison. You've got two high-profile actresses.
Too many movies about prison.
I don't watch
Aunt Becky's going to make those type of movies.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is in women's prison, you don't have a choice.
Oh. So you either take the shiv or you do the scene.
So there will be shower scenes, yes.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
Wow. I didn't think about that. A whole new entertainment industry, prison films.
Well, that's not a new industry. It's been around for a long time.
Has it?
Yeah.
I mean, we had prison TV shows. We had Oz. I guess we've had some. Never mind.
I'm okay with wrapping it up right now.
Yeah, I have lost complete
control. Goat in the water.
I have failed.
Goat in the water.
I will leave you alone now.
Killer, thank you for your help this morning.
I've got to go.
Thank you.
It wasn't a complete, colossal failure. So just know that.
Yeah.
Until this point.
Thank you for your time. But remember, we don't get to choose what our legacy will be. Just remember that. Sometimes we don't have control over it.
That's right.
And I feel like this morning's show may be your legacy. And there's really nothing more to discuss. It's 9:28 on the ticket. Coming up next, we're going to visit with Noda Begay. He's a good friend of Tiger. He's got some good stories about the comeback.